The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we prepare, today is designated Good Shepherd Sunday. Last Sunday, we could call it Reality Sunday, or perhaps Reality Check Sunday. We know that when we have someone in our sphere of work, at the office, in our family, there's a term that we use is, this guy needs a reality check, or he needs to get with the program. She's out of touch. Reality. If we recall last Sunday's gospel reading, Christ appears to the apostles and he states, peace be with you. And what does the gospel say? That they were startled and terrified. And Christ asks them, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at me. Touch me. Feel me and know that I am not a ghost. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones. A stark reality, a reality check for us that this is our history of redemption, of a shepherd that comes to give us life, is not a nice story. It's not a story that has other meaning or allegorical significance. This happened. And the gospel last week again says why they were incredulous in joy. He goes on and says, have you something to eat? And they give him a piece of baked fish. Because he's not a ghost. He was resurrected in the flesh. We are still in the Easter season. We are still celebrating Christ coming back from the dead, restoring our lives for eternity. A reality check. And this leads on into today's gospel reading, the reality of that we have a shepherd that is day and night calling us and wanting to be a part of our lives. And we need to continually remind ourselves, because we typically, human nature does not avail of the things that we do not see. We avail of the water and food, of our belongings, of what we need to get through this life. But what we don't see, what the heart does not always palpate or understand, is of no use to us many times, because we forget the reality that Christ is with us. Again, we are still in Easter Sunday, and the risen Christ is with us. He is in the Eucharist. On Holy Thursday, Christ instituted, and we commemorated the institution of the priesthood and Holy Eucharist that is with us here in the tabernacle, and we have it for adoration in the monstrance at Holy Hour and at the shrine continually, being able to visit Him. Today, Good Shepherd Sunday, a shepherd still exists. They still exist all over the world. It is a vocation, it is a job. And the definition that I found of a shepherd is his primary responsibility is the safety and welfare of the flock. Some flocks may include as many as 1,000 sheep, I was reading. The shepherd will lead his sheep to graze into areas of good forage, of good food, that they may grow and sustain themselves by eating. And he knows the land, and he pulls them away, or pushes them away, or actually leads them away as a shepherd, obviously, into areas of poisonous plants that can kill them, that can make them sick. And I was also reading again all over the world in flat terrain, rocky terrain, and now with cell phones and different alarms and GPS, they actually carry this technology because these shepherds are on call basically all night. And so they have ways of being notified of an incoming predator, a wolf. So the shepherds is not a nice thing of the past. It really still exists, which is pretty cool. They are on call for predators. That is what a shepherd is. And these sheep, they understand and they recognize the voice. They understand. They recognize the voice of the shepherd. And they follow him, whatever call, whatever manner they have of leading them into these places. If one of these sheep could express themselves to the shepherd, if they could talk, they might say something like this: "I will lay down in peace, and sleep comes at once, for you alone make me dwell in safety." That's what the sheep would say to the shepherd, because they're not very smart, and they just follow the crowd and the shepherd. And another thing that maybe a sheep might say to its shepherd is, "The lot marked out by you for me, shepherd, is my delight. Welcome indeed the heritage that falls to me." The heritage. And for a sheep, the heritage is good grass, it's good food. And for the heritage of a simple sheep is to stay away from predators. These are actually Psalm number 4 and Psalm number 16 of the 150 Psalms that Christ himself prayed and spoke and meditated and ponder in his heart. St. Ambrose calls the Psalms the gymnasium of the soul. What is it that we do with the gymnasium? We get stronger. We work out. We want to be fit. We want to be the best that we are. St. Ambrose calls the Psalms the gymnasium of the soul. The Psalms where we can palpate, that we can understand the heart and the mind of God, what He has planned, that mysterious plan that God has prepared for us. It would behoove us to visit the Psalms many and pray the Psalm often. The Psalm has God's plan for us. And St. Paul calls clear to the Hebrews, and he instead states, "Like sheep at night that are at peace, let us strive to enter into that Lord's rest," he states. "Let us strive to enter into that rest so that no one may fall in imitation of the example of Israel's unbelief." And Israel's unbelief is our unbelief. That the story is nice of a shepherd, and the story is very terrible, the crucifixion. But that story has very serious, concrete applications and implications in our own lives. Because the unbelief of the Israelites is that they didn't trust God, even after God continually led them out of Egypt, parted the Red Sea, fed them in the desert, gave them manna, gave them water, constantly whining, complaining to God, even complaining of the garlic that they left back in Egypt that they didn't have now. Painful. Of a God that loves
so much his people, his chosen people Israel, that they will complain about so much in the midst of so much plenty. Because again, we see and we live what we see, but many times what we don't see, we don't take advantage of. My brothers and sisters, this is the mystery of God's will. With the gift of the resurrection that we are still celebrating, with the gift of the Eucharist, Christ is with us. And we have a treasure, a powerhouse to live our lives in peace. Like these sheep that follow their shepherd, they are clueless where they're going. I hate to tell you, we are clueless where we're going. You may be knowing where you're going Monday morning, but the mystery of God's plan, what is beyond our death, no one knows, because no one has come back from life except Christ. And he states, you will be with me and see him face to face. What that is still remains to be known. So I leave you with a couple thoughts. As Christ is with us, this is what he states to us. I am here, really present, available to you at any hour of the day or at night to shepherd us. I want to listen to the cares and preoccupations that you carry like a heavy burden. Give them all to me. Trust in me, and I will act. He is our shepherd. For me, nothing is significant. No detail of your life is too small. No sin of yours too shameful to be brought to me and abandoned at my feet. Give me the first place in your heart and in your life, and I will provide for you in every circumstance. At the end of the day, there's two choices here, and I leave you with this thought. One is axis mundi, and the other is axis Deo. Is my world and my existence and the way I react to the circumstances of my life, good and bad, do I react as though I am the axis of this wheel, that the world revolves around me, that I reject what I don't like, and I take, like a cafeteria, what I want, and reject the sufferings? Or do I embrace the crucifixion that God allows us to participate in the good and the bad? Axis Deo. Where God is in Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the axis. And when our prayers aren't answered the way that we believe they should be answered, when we see so much strife, so much disorder — disorder has been part of human life since the Garden of Eden, and it will not end until the Garden of Paradise. And in between, we are living this disorder, and it seems to get darker and darker. And yet you see and read there have been some pretty dark times in the history of mankind. My brothers and sisters, do we choose axis mundi of the world, that I am the center of the world and I need the things done according to me? Or do we choose God as the axis of the world and trust and are humble and pray to him to help us, and the Psalms to help us understand? God provides. God shepherds. Christ shepherds. Glory be to God. Amen.